The Future of Biomedical Research. We're visiting today with Judith Kimball, Department of Biochemistry, University of Wisconsin-Madison in the College of Agricultural and Life Sciences, and I'm C.V. Kenyon. Judith, would you start out by telling us what biomedical research is?
Biomedical research is a really fancy word for the process of digging really deeply into understanding what animals do, how they tick, is the way I like to say it, and then using what you learn about that understanding and using it to cure disease. That's biomedical. That's where the biomedical part of it comes, and the research is the digging deeper. So that's where those two words come from.
Judith, can you give us an idea why the people of Wisconsin should be interested or care about biomedical research?
When you're hit with two words like biomedical research that you don't understand, the immediate reaction is, why should I care? The reason is that biomedical research, which is so important to our health and the health of the state, is also important to our economy. So biomedical research classically or historically has been incredibly important in the state of Wisconsin. The University of Wisconsin-Madison has been incredibly important in, for example, discovering vitamins. I think everybody knows vitamins are important to your health, but they were discovered in Madison by illustrious biochemists right here in our very own state. And this is only one of an example of a whole history of research contributions that have been important. And they are not only important, like vitamins, to our health, but they have been important to our economy. They bring jobs here, and they bring talent here. And bringing talent is one of the most important things in our state, is the people and who's here and having talent here to help us move forward.
Judith, what are some of the challenges facing biomedical research here in the United States?
There are very serious challenges, and those challenges really threaten our ability to make the major breakthroughs that keep this country at the frontier of medical knowledge. A simple way of looking at those challenges that are facing biomedical research is that we are both seriously underfunded and we're seriously overpopulated, i.e., too many people vying for those dollars, those research dollars, and too many people vying or trying to get those jobs in research. So you have a tension there between too little money and too many people wanting it, which makes it extremely competitive. And that competition in itself has become a problem. Competition has always been a really important part of biomedical research. It's inherently competitive. We're all competitive. I'm competitive. I own up. I am competitive. But it's gotten to the point where that competition has become damaging, because the competition has meant that we are funding research that's not as strong. It's a difficult thing to explain why that would be. But when you have established scientists who are struggling for the funding for their labs, first of all, they're going to be writing 10 grants every year instead of two. And then very few of those will get funded because it's so competitive. So they're spending all their time writing grants and much less time doing research and mentoring their students. So that is where competition becomes very damaging. It's also damaging in that those established investigators are competing with the young investigators. So the young investigators don't have the chance to launch their own research laboratories, because it's much more difficult for them. And then the morale has become really hard for these young scientists. As a result, the research has really swung from doing very innovative research to doing research that can be funded, because you know it's going to work. And when you know it's going to work, it's going to be funded. So that's what you put in and that's what you do. And not the risky stuff that might be groundbreaking discoveries. That's no longer as easily fundable. Never was easily fundable, but now it's gotten so hard that it's cutting that out, and that's tremendously challenging for keeping us at the cutting edge of research.
Judith, what are the consequences of this funding overpopulation situation in biomedical research?
What are the consequences? So the consequences are the fact that labs are struggling to maintain. They're spending more time thinking about maintaining their lab and less time about their research. What you want is smart, engaged people to be thinking hard about scientific problems and solving them. And what they're thinking about instead is how to get money in to do research. And that's the job of an economist, or that's the job of a banker. Research scientists should be able to spend more time thinking about their research. That's what they're paid to do. That's what they're trained to do. And yet, at this juncture, they are really not as able to do that because the competition is so tough.
Given the current situation, what does the future look like?
I think the future looks like it's going to change, and we need to decide how it's going to change. Either it's going to decline and we're going to have, you know, these problems get worse, or we're going to figure out how to address them and we're going to change them. And to do that, we have to change our culture, the research culture. We have to change the granting mechanisms. We have to change the training, change the expectations of people at every level in the research enterprise. And those changes are hard. If I were to say, what's the future going to hold, I would say the one word is change. And trying to make that change positive for everybody is going to be a challenge and something that we're going to come as close as we can to do.
What kinds of things are being done to improve the situation?
The things that are being done include work at the level of the university, the research institutions, to make the graduate training stronger for the individuals to be able to go out and meet a number of different kinds of careers. So there are lots of changes that are happening at that level. There are also changes at NIH. At NIH, there are policies being put in place to reduce the amount of money that any individual lab would have in an attempt to make it broader and fund more diverse projects, which I think is really an important policy change. But that policy change is only in one of the institutes at NIH. It's not in all of them, but it's the one institute that's changing. So the NIH is the main funding mechanism for biomedical research, and it stands for National Institutes of Health.
Judith, what brings you into this?
So I got involved in this because there was a very influential paper written by friends of mine that made recommendations for changing the culture in ways that I thought were a bad idea. And yet they were friends of mine. So I decided that they were coming at the situation from the vantage point of a small elite school, Princeton, for example, Harvard, for example, and they were not thinking about state schools, which really does the most training in biomedical research. And I thought that to bring that voice into the discussion was very important. So I decided to lead an effort at the UW-Madison that engaged our entire biomedical research community to think about these problems. Now, I was successful at one level and not successful at the other. I didn't get every biomedical researcher to be engaged, but we got a lot, hundreds of people, and they came from, all levels, students through deans and administrators and staff scientists. And, we had a tremendous month of discussions that culminated in a public workshop that the writers of this influential article came to. And then we discussed different solutions, and then we wrote a paper and published that paper. And I think that paper is making some impact in part for the solutions we came up with, and in part for the process we used, which was very inclusive and very different from what had been done before.
Judith, what are the prospects for actually increasing funding across the board for these kinds of research projects?
I think that's a really good question that we should be asking our congressmen about. There are efforts in Congress to increase funding, but I think it's not only increasing funding, but using it better. And I think we all need to work hard at both increasing the funding and finding ways to use the funding we have more effectively.
What started you in your career of biomedical research?
I just gave a talk about this. And I did some soul searching and trying to figure out what I wanted to become a doctor. And I studied all the classes that one does to go to medical school. But during the course of that, I discovered a black box that totally fascinated me. And that black box was how an embryo becomes a creature, how an embryo develops into a... This was in 1970. It was before any of the tools that were available now were available to study this, but it was such an amazing phenomenon that I wanted to understand it in molecular detail. This was the age when genes were being discovered and gene regulation was being discovered, and I wanted to take that discovery, which at that time was being done in bacteria and in viruses, I wanted to take it into embryos. And it was just a huge black box that I found totally fascinating. I was accepted into medical school. I turned it down, and I went into trying to understand the problem that I'd found that I loved.
Judith, was there a trigger or an aha moment that caused you to get curious about that black box?
There was, I think. So there was a moment in a class when I was an undergraduate when the professor told me that he could take out a tube from a developing embryo at a very, very, very early time, and that if he took that tube and put it into a tissue culture, that tube would form a heart. And I thought that was the most amazing thing I'd ever heard. And I thought, there was absolutely no clue how that happened. And I thought, it doesn't need to be even inside the organism. So that okay. was, I would say that if anything was the aha moment, that
okay.
was the aha moment.
Okay. We've been visiting with Judith Kimball, Department of Biochemistry, University of Wisconsin-Madison, and the College of Agricultural and Life Sciences, and I'm C.V. Kenyon.